conform exactly to how they need to be. It's a lovely thing. I was going to wear them and come on in, but I couldn't find them in the closet. So count yourself blessed. But I had to tell you about it because it really ties in to what we're talking about. I put those football pants on, whether it was practice or games. Nice feeling pants. And then I would go out into the field, and the coach would have everybody get down into a football position. I'm going to demonstrate the football position. Right there. But you don't just get into the football position. He would call for the football position by yelling, "Break down," and then all the team would go, "Ha!" And they would do that repeatedly, several times in a row. It was exhilarating. But the point was, is the football position meant you're ready. You're ready for action. You're ready for no matter what came at you. And we've been studying the purposes of the church. And if you open your Bibles to Acts 2, we've been going through what we believe are six purposes of the church. And the bottom line with all four of them that we've covered so far and with service today is that you've got to be ready for action. You've got to be ready for action. If you're not ready, if I'm not ready for action, then we are missing the boat completely. And here's the thing, we've talked on this, we've mentioned this. If you're missing the boat on these things as a church, that's only part of it. Your entire life is about devotion to God through these purposes. And we've made it very clear as a church family that what we do together is the same as what we do as we go to our separate lives throughout the week. We're connected. We're a team. We're a family. And we need to understand that everything we do as far as personal devotion and call it corporate devotion impacts your walk with Christ. And you cannot claim to follow Christ if you're unwilling to be ready for action and if you're unwilling to be devoted. Take a look at the verses either in your Bible in Acts 2:42 or up on the screen if you can read them more easily there. But the bottom line is I wanted to read these verses to you, and I'm only going to touch on things for about 10 minutes or so, maybe 15, and then Mark Smith is going to talk to you more detailed about service. But we just really felt the need to kind of remind you of the gravity of this situation, the seriousness that we're up against. Read these words with me. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, ate their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." We've gone through and pointed out already four different things. And for the tracking of it, those first four things we've covered are right in the first verse there. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine," or as we said, the teachings of Christ, "fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers." And it's been laid out for the last several weeks that a devoted follower of Christ is going to be diligent about these four things. Not only as a team when we come together, but individually as you go. If your study of the Apostles' Doctrine and your devotion to the Apostles' Doctrine, to what Christ taught, and we understood that that's recorded in the Word of God, if that stops Sunday morning as soon as you walk out, you're missing the boat on what Christ is calling for. If your worship or your remembrance takes place only in 45 minutes to an hour Sunday morning during the breaking of bread, you're missing the point. If your prayer is very short and temporary, you're missing the point. If your fellowship, as Benji said last week, is summed up with having a cup of coffee out in the entryway and shaking three hands and then you're set, goes way beyond that. Way beyond that. And as I was looking over this again, the thing that hit me the most is that God calls us to be ready for change. Ready for change. And I want you to think for a minute, especially if you've been here for the last several weeks. Think about your time in God's Word, your worship, your prayer, and your fellowship. Have you been ready for change? Has your life increased in the devotedness to these things? Don't raise your hand, but how many of you have spent more time in the Word since we talked about devotedness to Christ's teaching? Think about it. How many of you have spent more time worshiping in your heart through your daily activities since we learned about worship? How many of your prayer lives have increased or improved significantly? How many of you have deepened your fellowship with the believers around you? If that hasn't happened, we are missing the boat. And our times together are worthless if we are not progressing and growing and becoming more and more devoted. There's some hardcore issues here. And we thought it was important to start out with a reminder that what we study is serious. The book of James talks about those people who hear the Word of God taught and then they don't do it. And it goes on to say, that's a tragedy. That's a problem. But it goes further. We are accountable. When we have heard these things, when we've heard these messages, we are accountable for change. And I believe firmly that you're going to answer to Christ at some point for your devotedness to Him. And let's be a church family who is serious about change in these areas. And this is another encouragement. If you haven't to this point, make sure to grow in your devotedness. Make sure to change your priorities. If we could sum up the call to action for the last 4 weeks, it's been a call to change your priorities. Change your schedule so you can read the Word more by yourself and with others. Change your mindset and your priority of what you think about so that worship is a root of all of it. Change your priorities so that your prayer life is like your breathing, constant, ongoing. And change your fellowship so that your connection with the body of Christ goes way beyond just being a separate island. And if we're willing to change priorities, then God will be honored and the Spirit of God is going to take your life and He's going to show you joy and fulfillment that you have yet to see. It's exciting. It's wonderful. But it depends. It's a result from you being willing to change, from you being willing to grow in your devotedness. Service, I think, brings out this priority if maybe in a more amplified way than any of the others. Because to be a servant, you've got to really embrace this phrase that it's truly not about me. This life is not about me. And we say that maybe, but do we really live that? Do we really believe that? Turn to Mark 10:45 for a minute if you could. Jason read this verse this morning. I was encouraged to hear it, knowing that we'd see it again at this point. But if there is any doubt about the model of how to set up the priority of your life, Mark 10:45 just really lays it out nice and clearly. Jesus Christ Himself, the example. It's said that for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Christ understood more deeply than anyone that His life even was not about Him. That His life on earth was about serving and giving of Himself. And that's the King of the universe. Think of how that applies to you and to me. A very wise second grade teacher, she's very cute too, my wife, taught her students a lot of years ago now, I think it was 9 years ago now, about true joy is found in Jesus, others, and you. And that pattern has been repeated. I've heard others use that same pattern. But with service, with devotion to God and His church, that true arrangement has to be a part of your life. Jesus has to be first. Your life needs to be about service to Christ. Others, you have to be about serving others. And where's the you? It's at the end. If you look at my life day to day, you can see the why at the beginning of the phrase far too often. We have become so self-centered. We have become so self-indulgent that it's really become about us. our happiness, what we want, how we think our life should go. And if there's a call to action this morning, the call to action is understand that as Mark comes now and really lays out how do we serve, you have to remember, you have to understand that it's all in the context of Jesus first, others next, and you last, me last. It is not about me. And if we remember this, if we take this to heart, then we're going to see some awesome things happen in the city of Dubuque through our lives and in our lives. So I'm very enthused to turn it over to Mark so that we can learn more about service. But while we're transitioning here, turn to Ephesians 4 if you could.
All right, as we continue this morning looking at service, I have to say it was kind of funny when we were going over the schedule looking at when we were talking about service. I thought it was kind of unique that we're talking about service on Mother's Day. And so, you know, I guess it's, I don't know who set up the schedule, but I guess for you moms, it's nice you guys today get to, you know, help make sure people are applying what they learned today as they're serving you. So I guess it works out nice for you that way. But I'm excited about... service. I'm excited about this whole series we've been going through, talking about the purposes of the Great Adventure. Why do we take the time to gather together to do the things that we're doing? Why do we gather together to worship? Why do we gather together to study the Word of God? Why do we do these things? And really get down to the heart of what are we here for? And so it's been really exciting because for me, I'm a very practical person. And it's funny because I work at the University of Dubuque, and people are always talking about theory and why we do. And I always just I get frustrated with all this talk about theory. I just, well, what do we do? So this series has been great for me because it talks about, well, what do we do? Let's not talk about all this fancy stuff. What do we do? What do we do as a church? Why are we here? Why do we gather together? Why do we do the things that we do? What do we do? So for me, it's been a lot of fun talking about these things. And as I'm looking at, service, and as we talk about what does it look like, how do we do that as a church? It's really practical, and so I really have enjoyed this time. But as we dig into the Word here, we're just going to go through Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to focus in on a couple points, but it's a fairly short chapter, so I figured we may as well just read the whole thing. It's good, and so let's do it. Starting in verse 1, "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you also were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above the heavens, so that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness, in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their hearts. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of the deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Before we dig in, I just want to take a moment and pray for this time. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son and the life that we have in you. Father, I pray that as we spend time digging into your truth and seeking to understand what it is that you desire from us, as we look at this concept of service and what you ask us to do, that you would just... that you would reveal yourself to us, Father. You would speak through me, Father. It wouldn't be my words or my thoughts, but it would be you. And that you would be glorified in us in this time, Father. I think the thing that... I was reading some stuff that Matthew Johnson had gathered together for us as we were looking at service. And one of the things I was reading, it was funny to me. It was talking about this Acts church that we're looking at. We're looking at Acts and... What is this church in Jerusalem? What was so amazing about them? What did they do? And we're looking at these pieces, and I'm completely blanking on who it was that wrote this. But anyways, what this guy was writing, he's reminding us that as we look at this church, we have to remember that church in Acts was not perfect. We always hold them up on this pedestal. Oh, here's the perfect church. They weren't. They were doing a lot of things right. And that's what we're trying to be like. But we have to remember that this wasn't a perfect church. This was a church that was made up of a bunch of followers of Christ who were all flawed, who were all seeking to become like Christ. And so in no way were they perfect. And so we have to keep that in mind, that we have a great model to follow after. They were doing some wonderful things that we need to learn from. But we have to remember that just like us, they're not perfect. And yet what they were doing are the things that we need to be doing. Being devoted to the teaching of the apostles, being devoted to Christ. Spending time in prayer, fellowship, worship, all those things that we've been talking about for the past 4 weeks. That is what we need to be as a church, but they weren't perfect. So much like us, there's things that we're going to struggle in. As you read through the New Testament, you hear a reference to the church in Jerusalem, and by no means were they still that perfect church. There are a bunch of young believers who are seeking to understand and be like Christ. And that's what we need to be. And we look at this idea of service. As a church, we need to be serving one another. KT shared that of the example of Christ, that Christ Himself came to serve. If we're to be like Christ, then we are to serve. And yet, here in America, and myself included, we've gotten lost. We've started to get messed up, like KT was talking about, with that acronym of joy, that we put ourselves first. And what has happened, and I have no clue how long this has been going on or whatnot, but we treat everything like consumers. That we want, we use, and we take, and we started to do that with church as well. We look at a church, it's like, well, what does this church have to offer me? Does this church have the music that I like? Does this church have the programs that I need? Does it have the great Sunday school for my kids? Does it have the paintball ministry that I want to be a part of? You know, whatever those things are. But we look at what can I get from church? And we do that too on Sundays. We come in and we sit down in our chair and we're ready. We're empty. We've had a draining week and we're ready. It's like, fill me up. I need it. Everybody come minister to me because I'm needy. Take care of me so that I'm ready to go for this next week. And that's the way that we've started to treat church, that we just come and we use it and we need it. So we all come in. And not to say that we're not all needy people who need things, but that is not the purpose of church. The purpose of church isn't for us to all come and let Mr. Leverance come and make us feel all good so we can go out the next week and survive a week till we run into him again. He can make sure we're all on top of things. What church is, what church needs to be, is we're looking at this purpose. Why do we say service is a purpose? Is that it's not about what does the church have to offer me, but what do I have to give? And we look at this in Ephesians 4 as we're jumping right down to verse 11 when he's talking about, he says he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. And verse 12 is important, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. We each have been given gifts to use in the church for the building up of the saints. It's not that we come and wait for those gifted people to come and serve me, but we're all gifted in different ways. We've all been given things by Christ. We've been created with unique talents and abilities to serve, to share those things. And the fun thing is again, as before we get into talking about, well, what are those things that we serve, but we have to look, why do we do it? What is the purpose behind it all? And it's right there at the end of verse 12. It's for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to building up of the body in Christ. And then in 13, we do it, and the end result, the ultimate goal, is that we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of God. The purpose, why do we serve in the church, is so that as a whole, as the body, we become like Christ. We all attain to the fullness of Christ. And that only happens... I was excited. I wasn't here last Sunday, so I didn't get to hear Benji speaking, but then I was able this week to listen to it online. And it's so exciting because this idea of service comes right after, off of what he was talking about with fellowship. That as a church, we only get to this point when we're all doing our part. When one member doesn't actively serve, isn't using their gifts for the equipping of the saints, we don't get there. We're lacking. And so it's exciting because it's this idea that we're all in this together. God gifted us. He created us. He made us. It's fun to sit around and talk to different people and. To the different students, to the different people in the church. How did we all end up here together? And it's so fun. I love looking back and listening to people's stories of how they somehow ended up in Dubuque. And how they've, for lots of us, how did we end up getting stuck here longer than we planned? And it's cool to see that God is bringing us together. It's not by accident that we're all here as part of this church. God has brought together in a unique set of gifted people to do the work that he has here. And so it's really, I know it's fun. I would love to be able to take time and just have people tell those stories, but it's fun to just listen to people's stories, how they ended up here. And to know that God's doing that for a reason, to bring us here together. And so now that we're here together, what do we do? What is this idea of service? We can talk about service. The sign-up sheet was going around. There's lots of things you can do. You sign up to do service. There you go. We're done. You signed up. All right, we're there. But it's more than that. It's fine because we talk... Whenever you hear someone talking about service or doing a message on service, it always comes down to spiritual gifts. And you do a spiritual gift analysis, find out what your gift is, and go do that. But I think it's a lot simpler than that. I think we make it a little bit harder than it has to be. Because when you talk about service, I think it's so simple. We always try to make this I don't know, sound really smart and sophisticated, but when you're talking about service, it's not. It's fun. I like talking about this because at UD this whole semester I've been teaching a class, and the big point of the class that we talked about all semester long is this idea of vocation. And I love talking about vocation because the definition that I love and I talk about with all my students is this idea that vocation is simply this. Vocation is where I take my greatest joy, the thing that God has created me to do, my passion, and where does that intersect with the world's greatest need? That's vocation. And I think in the church, as we look at that, I think it's very similar. What are the specific things that God has gifted you with? What are the things that God has given you a passion to do? And how do you do that in the church? I think it's that simple. It's not a matter of finding out, well, let me look through all the needs and figure out where I can fill. I think a church that's functioning properly and doing service is a church where every member is coming and doing what they do. And not just doing it so they get, you know, check it off, but they're serving, they're sharing their gifts. Like we saw there in in verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for service. And so the gifts, the things that I do, help you to do what you do best better. Does that make sense? When I come and I am using my gifts in this body, it's going to make the other people in this church be able to do what they do better. And in turn, when they're doing what they are gifted to do in the church, it's going to help me do what I do better. And so it's much like Benji was talking about with fellowship, is this idea, we're all in this together. For the time that we're here as the great adventure, you know, like the Schneiders are leaving us soon. And some of the students who have been here for 4 years are graduating, and next fall we'll get some new ones. But so it's not a permanent thing that this is it, we're in it till the end. The church is larger than that. But as a local church, while we're here together, we need to be doing that. How do we do that? And it's certainly, it's much bigger than Sunday mornings. It's not just, well, how, you know, I'm not gifted in music, so I can't help out Sunday mornings, and I can't speak, and kids scare me. You know, Sunday morning doesn't have anything for me. It's more than that. It's what are the things that you are passionate about? What are the things that you do, and how can you do that to make the body better? It can be simple. I mean, it could be going to one another's houses. We've done some of this in the past, but mowing each other's lawns, raking leaves, helping each other do projects. I think when we do those things together, obviously fellowship happens when we're serving alongside of each other, when we're sharing our gifts with each other. But I think some of those other things that come out is when we're doing that alongside each other, I think that the fun thing that happens when we're serving together, when we're sharing our gifts with each other, is that we see Christ. I think it's so cool to see someone doing what they were created to do, that when that's happening, we get a glimpse of who Christ is. And it's so fun to see when someone's living into their purpose, that we see Christ. We see the way that God has uniquely gifted us and created us, And it's so fun to see that in the church when people are pouring their lives into the church, like Benji was talking about, that we have to be doing that because as a church, when we're doing that, when each person is doing it, and there's no rank and order of what's better. You know, my gift's not that great. I don't want to share what my gift is because you know, all I'm really good at is cleaning the floors and yet I think all those things are so important. It's so fun to be able to see, you know, come early and see the people who are here serving tirelessly, and they do it because they love doing it. You try to, you know, help them out and they get, you know, they don't get mad, but they're, you know, it's like, oh, well, let me take with it. I know this must be a problem. They love it. And you see the people who tirelessly are working with the kids, and they love doing it. It's a passion. And it's, when we're doing that, the whole body grows from it. Because we're all benefit. God has put us together with all our weird quirks and talents and gifts that, for a reason, and God's going to use us through that. So I think when we talk about this idea of service, how do we do service? We just have to do it. I think it comes down to that. It's what are those needs? Where do I see needs in the church that I can fill? That, you know what? Hey, I can do that. I love to do that. And let's do it. It's not a matter of trying to see, oh, well this church over here is doing it. They're great, and they've got this amazing art ministry, and so we need to do that. If we're going to be an amazing church, we have to match that. That's not the way it goes. You look at it, and there's so many people who are looking at these churches that are so successful. We got to do that. That's not going to work here because we have to exist as a church and work as a church in the way that God has gifted us. And so it's simply that, I think, is looking, okay, well, what has God gifted me to do? What has God given me a passion to do? And how am I going to do that? And it's going to come out in lots of different ways. And I don't think it's a matter that, well, starting next week, everybody's going to come and just start doing things. Sometimes it takes a matter of trying things out, figuring out, well, what works? Maybe it's coming and talking to people. It's like, okay, I feel I need to be, you know, using my gifts more, but I have no clue what to do. I think that we have to ask those questions. I was like, well, what can I do? I'm doing this, but I don't really feel like I'm really fitting in with this. You know, I tried out Sunday school and I didn't feel it. It wasn't bringing me joy in serving, and it was really just a draining experience. We just have to start talking, figuring out, what needs do we have as a body? We have to be... Here's the other thing with service is, in addition to being able to serve, we also have to be willing to be served. And this is the hard one because it's so hard for us to admit that we need help with things. I know I fall in this. I want to come off and appear as being in control and managing everything well, and so it's really hard to ask for somebody to come over and help me with something because then I'm admitting a flaw that, you know what, maybe this week I just don't have time to get everything done. I really need help mowing my lawn this week or something. But to humble yourself to be able to share that is hard. But here's the thing is maybe Ethan is just sitting around going, man, I wish I could mow a lawn this week. See? But I don't have a lawn, so I can't mow it. And so by me not being willing to share those needs, in one sense, it's hindering people from being able to use their gifts and share their gifts. And so it has to happen. It has to happen both ways, that we are willing to share our needs and share our burdens with one another and serve one another. And so we could spend a ton of time this morning just going down, well, what are all the needs that we have as a church? We could make a huge list on this wall of all the things that people need help with or things that we need done here, you know, cleaning up the church or bringing refreshments or whatever those different things are. Maybe it's, you know, your gift is caring for people and spending time either on Sundays or throughout the week meeting with people and praying for people and ministering to people. All of those things are important, and so it's we don't have. It would be a monster of a list first off, I don't have the talents or the ability to try to manage that huge list. And so I think it has to just happen. We need to each make that commitment that, you know what, I was created to serve these people, to care for these people, to serve these people in order that they might become more like Christ. And the fun thing is that we know is when we do that in ourselves, we're becoming more like Christ too. And so it's this idea that we care for one another. And the other really cool part about it is when we do that, if we do that, not only does it cause all of us to become more like Christ, but man, do we look weird to the world. Man, is it impressive when people see, when my neighbor sees the way that you all care for me and the way that I care for you. Because like I said, when we do that, when we are living out our purpose and we are serving one another, we see Christ. We show Christ to one another and the world sees that. What better thing than to share Christ? And the cool thing is this isn't necessarily in word, but people see it. They see a difference. Because who loves like that? It's certainly not me. It's certainly not you, as much as you like to believe it. But it's Christ. And so it's Christ in us. Because if that's not there, then we could fake it for a little while. But this, it has to be Christ working in us. Giving us that heart to serve one another, to care for one another. So I don't want to spend a ton more time going over this because, again, I said earlier that it was simple, so I don't want to drag it out and make it not simple anymore. So again, I think what has to come, if we're going to be a church that's committed to serving one another, then it's just that. It's nothing fancy. It's nothing sophisticated. It's simply using the things that we have, the gifts that we have, the skills that we have, the passions that God has given us and created us with, or the things that He has blessed us with, how do we use those to care for one another? In whatever way, shape, or form that takes. But it's going to come through us talking about it. And so when we're doing what Benji was talking about, we're gathering together, and we're getting involved in one another's lives, service is going to, it's going to happen if we're committed to that. To realizing that it's not about me, but it's all about Christ. How do we share Christ with one another? How do we cause one another to grow closer to Christ, understand more of who Christ is, so that as a church, as a body, we become more like Christ. And we are becoming one following our head, which is Christ. That's what it comes down to. That's what we have to be as a church. If we say we're going to be committed to service, that's what it's going to be. So this week, as you're spending time together, let's talk about that. Let's start to figure out, what do I do? How do I do this? Let's start to be real with one another. Share our needs, and let's see what God's going to do. I'm excited about the potential where God can take us as a church if we really do this. If we really do worship. If we really do. If we really are devoted. To the Lord's teaching, if we really are worshiping together and committing to one another in prayer, if we're doing those things, if we are really doing the things that we say we are a purpose to do, I'm excited to see where God's going to take us. It's going to be fun. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your truth and the opportunity we have to learn from you. God, I pray that that your word, God, that it makes sense to us this week. God, I pray that you would put this on our hearts, that we would continue to seek to understand this. God, I know that I'm still wrestling with this idea of what you've created me to do in this body and how you've meant me to serve. God, I just pray that you would make it clear to us this week. God, help us to be a church that's committed to you. God, help us to be a church that's real with one another, that's committed to one another, that we love one another. And God, I pray that you would bless us this week as we seek to do this, God. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for all that you bless us with, and we're excited to see you at work this week. In your name, we pray.